Hello, everybody, and welcome to our next episode of The Keeper of the Dead. We last left off with our party encountering a group of goblins in a mountain cave where they had been preparing to consume the last surviving member of the original team sent out to recover the relic known as the Void Scythe of Harrowmane, a half-elf named Vanya Brightmoor. And after a entertaining battle with a large number of goblins, and set up a camp for the evening. And that is where we are right now.
All right, well, so it's 9 o'clock in the morning here, so I'm just going to role play sleeping. How about that? Playing, this is great. I love it.
We're all kind of role play sleeping.
Okay. All right. I'm done role playing sleeping.
Okay.
All right.
That's.
Would you like to do anything before turning in for the night?
Nope. Well,
I'm assuming we should set a watch again, like we did last night.
I'll take last watch.
Okay.
I'll take first.
All right. I'll take the watch in the middle. Dante can wake me up.
I will take whatever's left.
As you set up your camp and get ready for your evening in, Vanya goes to recover some of her belongings from where the goblins had stashed them, and most of them have been shredded and wrecked. Like, she sets up a little tent that was in her rucksack, and it's got slashes all through it, and she just kind of looks at it and goes, and just never minds it, and just sort of sets up everything anyway.
I offer her my tent and take my bedroll and throw it down on the ground outside. We are in a cave after all.
She looks to you and says, it's less of a cave and more of an overhanging rock that kind of, it's like a concave section of cliff. It's mostly exposed, but it's kind of,
it's not ready, right?
Cave-ish, but not, no, it's not ready.
Yeah, we'll be fine.
Okay.
So she looks at you and says, thank you, that's very kind.
We do what we can.
And thank you once again for what you did to rescue me. I was not especially looking forward to being goblin food.
I can well imagine that.
You know,
rather embarrassing, actually.
It's okay. So, it happens to the best of us.
So, tell me more about yourselves. Where do you come from? What is your story thus far?
Go ahead, Savarka.
My name's Savarka. I just like traveling. I just like traveling. I like wandering around and just getting into adventure. It helps me meet a whole bunch of people. I've made a lot of new friends. I just made a friend today. I got to kill some goblins. It's a win-win for me.
Even if we did have to drag you kicking and screaming into it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was then. This is now. I made a new friend, so everything's better. And we're not fighting the centipede anymore. So that's always better.
Centipede fought centipedes.
We fought spiders.
It was a big one. Its mouth was bigger than my head, which is really not saying a lot since I'm a gnome, but it was really big.
Well, I would count you lucky. When we first entered the marshes, we had to fight a large cluster of giant leeches.
Oh,
that sounds terrible. Did your boat get almost knocked over by that giant fish thing?
No. We left it moored upstream, but it's entirely possible that something happened to it afterwards. Perished.
Because we almost got knocked over by a giant fish.
We did see signs of large aquatic creatures on our way in. Fortunately, we evaded them for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
At a nasty lot.
We've also seen giant sloth.
Mm-hmm.
Giant spiders.
Fascinating.
Just a giant
some of us closer than others.
Some of us closer than others, yes.
My understanding is that this forest is extremely old and full of many different varieties of creatures not typically found outside of old forests such as this. And I imagine the deeper we go, the more we'll find along those lines. But fortunately, when we were captured by the goblins, we only had a few miles left on our journey to where we were expecting to find our quarry, such as it is. Mm. In fact, my understanding was, when the mercenaries betrayed us, that they had intended to do that the entire time, and they had assumed that since they had passed the worst of the dangers of the forest, that it would be better to kill us then, and then recover the artifact, rather than try to fight us once we arrived at the artifact. That's my assumption.
Uh-huh.
That's why I don't tend to trust mercenaries at this point.
Understandable.
Well, we're not typical mercenaries. We're just an adventuring party.
Good. I should hope so.
Well.
Cowardly lot.
Yes.
Such a damn cowardly lot.
Well, they stabbed my two men in their sleep, so then tied me to a tree. They would have stabbed me then, but they lost their nerve as soon as they heard the goblins coming. They just decided to let them do it for them. And so, cowardly lot, indeed.
Indeed.
Anyway, I suppose best to turn in now. Resume our path in the morning. I would like to not waste too much time. If we wait too long, it's possible the mercenaries will arrive at their destination and be gone by the time we get there, and I'd prefer not to experience that eventuality.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Agreed. Well, let's turn in and get some sleep then.
Okay, Duke.
There you go. So she settles in her borrowed tent and kind of tucks in for the night. Throughout your watch, you don't really observe anything. You hear sounds from the woods below you. Like, you're high up, but you're not so high up that you can't really see the woods from a decent point of view. And every once in a while, you can sort of hear loud sounds of animals of different varieties and different sizes echoing across the woods below you. And sometimes you can see the occasional rustling of trees as something particularly large moves through the growth. But as the night goes on, nothing approaches your position on the cliff face. So the night passes uneventfully. Morning comes. You all wake up. Do whatever you would like to do from there.
I will spend an hour meditating and getting my spells back in order.
I'll spend an hour working out.
I'll spend an hour eating breakfast.
I will offer a part of my rations that I have to Vanya, asking if she's eaten.
She takes them and says, "Thank you, Dad." And with what is obviously a deliberate use of her poise, she eats it very elegantly, as half-elves are wont to do. But it's clear she's probably not eaten in days. So she definitely consumes it pretty quickly in spite of herself. Mm-hmm. She also spends the first hour or so of the morning just cleaning her armor and her sword and her gear of the filth from the goblins and trying to get as much of it off as possible.
It sounds like fun. And there's nothing resembling like edible food in the goblin warrens, are there?
You could do a search check for it, or an investigation. Deception, probably just deception.
Poiception. Okay. Where is my perception? There it is. It's 4. That's not very good. I should change that.
Maybe I should have done something about that.
Yeah, perhaps. Everyone's got to be bad at something. Okay. 18, actually. Modified 18.
Okay. You look around. You find an old piece of really kind of amateurishly dried horse meat that's hanging on a hook in the back of the cave. Okay. But other than that, nothing fit for anything but a goblin to eat.
Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and haul that out and throw it over a fire just in case.
You're not really going to eat that, are you?
I mean, I'm going to cook it first, and then I'm going to eat it.
I'll tell you this much right now. If you poison yourself, I'm not going to cure it.
If you start puking, you're on your own.
Are you a big jerk?
I believe in people living with the consequences of their actions.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe when you go ahead and you get hit in the face by a zombie, I'm going to be like, oh, look at that. That's the consequence of your actions.
Boys.
I'm going to go take care of the other ones over there.
All right. Island, it's not boys, because we have Dante's a girl. So,
yep.
Let's calm down.
So you cook the meat and it has kind of a not spoiled but just kind of somewhat
poisonous flavor.
Off.
Poisonous, but it doesn't smell appetizing. It's like it was seasoned with something that shouldn't really be used as seasoning.
Like dirt.
Like, like as if they amateurishly, in a goblin-esque way, tried to imitate human cooking styles by just taking random plants they found in the woods and just smearing them on it, rather than anything like that would actually be used as an herb of any particular flavoring quality. So it looks edible, but definitely not enjoyable.
Well, in which case, maybe I'll just kind of keep some as emergency ration backups.
If it's dried out and you cooked it again, it's probably good backup food. Mm-hmm.
You don't get the idea that you will suffer any negative effects for eating it other than just general misery.
Other than the fact it's going to taste terrible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Gordon Ramsay would not be pleased. All right.
So are we ready to hit the road?
I am.
Everybody prepared?
I'm good. Good to go.
Packed up.
Let's do it.
All right.
Okay. Packed up before you can even say that. She's been ready to go for a while yet.
Okay.
You can tell you can see the military discipline in her, just has her instinctively ready to go at dawn. So she's already well and ready to go. So okay. She's like, are we off then?
Yes.
I guess so.
Excellent.
Let us return to our path toward the object.
So it doesn't take you too much time to kind of descend the mountain side to roughly where you'd branched off from your original path. You don't encounter any particular resistance on your way. Someone go ahead and roll a survival check.
I guess that's our ranger.
Hang on. I've forgotten how to do this. Winston.
D20 plus survival.
Right. I need to get my dice. I'll be right back.
Oh! Natural 20. Bam.
Oh, okay. Good. You find the path easily. You observe the path left behind by the mercenaries who had branched off after betraying Vanya and her men, and you easily follow it into the woods. You even, as you go, you kind of compare it with your map and realize they'd kind of taken sort of a more direct, or a less direct but easier path through kind of less hilly terrain, because you're getting to a point where there's some large glacial rock formations here and there, and you kind of find your own way that kind of circumvents their path and rejoins with it later, and you gather that you probably cut off a couple hours of travel time.
Man.
Um,
You survived the hell out of that roll.
As you continue on your path, getting closer and closer to where the map suggests you'll find this ruin that contains the Void Scythe and potentially the necromancer within, you notice a general change in the atmosphere. It's like you feel the temperature slowly decrease as you go. The air feels almost thicker. It's only a few hours past dawn at this point, but the light is beginning to fade around you. And it doesn't even seem like it's coming from the canopy of the trees overhead blocking out the sunlight. It's as if the air itself has become more opaque.
Well, that sounds terrible.
It seems that we are walking into the heart of evil.
Does anybody have a detect evil or anything of that nature?
I do.
Ability. I mean, I feel like I don't really need to detect evil right now.
Yeah, I thought about rolling a detect evil, but I mean, it's pretty clear.
That's pretty obvious.
All right. Yes, I have a... or maybe I don't. No, I don't. I have protection from evil.
Okay.
I have detect undead, though.
Okay, I'm
back. That's the thing.
Is that something I feel I should use right now?
I don't know, do you?
Not particularly. I mean, to me, it just seems like we're in an evil place.
You feel... moment, it doesn't feel as if it was an actual acting presence. It almost feels more like a natural effect of something. It's definitely magical in its nature, but it doesn't feel like it's intentional. It's more like a side effect of something else happening in the region around you. It doesn't feel, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's as if you're walking into a fog that is not a fog. It's just a quality of the atmosphere around you. So as you continue going in, the terrain begins to slope uphill. You get the idea that you're beginning to climb up an incline to something forward past the trees. But as you keep going, the air around you gets darker and darker to the level of twilight. You can see only a few hundred yards ahead of you before it just kind of fades away into a black murk.
Can someone cast a spell to give us a little bit more?
I have a light spell. Well, basically it's like a cantrip, but until it gets to the point where we have visibility below, I think, 60 feet, it's not going to matter.
Okay, so that's not any further than what we can see now.
Yeah, you said that we can see like 100 or so. Did you say 100, 200 yards?
About 100 yards or so. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's going to have to get a lot darker before my light spell would really do that.
Right, do anything.
Good for us.
You also notice that for the first time since you really started trekking deep into the woods, the size of the trees has begun to decrease. They are no longer the towering redwood type trees that go 100, 200 feet straight up in the sky. They're beginning to become smaller, more like your traditional kind of great oak, or they're still large trees and definitely very old, but it looks as if the thickness of the brush is beginning to diminish as you continue in your direction.
Mm. I don't like the look of this.
Yeah, there's definitely bad things afoot here.
Nobody sees any spider webs, right?
Roll a perception check.
Oh, look at that. It's a giant spider web that's been on and stuff.
16. Modified.
You don't see any spiders.
Okay.
No particular spiders. No, you actually don't see any life at all.
I don't like the look of that either.
All you see is plant life. You don't hear any birds. You don't hear any insects. You don't hear anything.
Can I roll a knowledge nature check to see if I can learn anything more about the surroundings or?
Sure.
15.
Okay. Based on what you see, it looks as if the trees you're seeing that are smaller are the same kind of trees as the ones you've been walking through this entire time. These ones just seem younger, as if they have been planted or seeded long after the other ones had been. And based on the way they continue to decrease, it seems as if you're possibly approaching a clearing.
Okay. So we can't see that far ahead.
No.
Okay. Well, I'm comfortable with getting out of the forest. I don't know how anybody else feels.
No, this forest is unhappy. I don't particularly want to be here much longer.
So you go forward?
Sure.
Yeah.
I hate when a DM asks something like that.
You always know.
That's why we do it.
You
continue going forward. Yeah. And the murk continues to increase. You feel a thickness in the air. It's almost like you're swimming through it. It's like it's a resistive force. And you feel something kind of trigger in your brain and the primal corners of your brain saying, I shouldn't be here. I should turn around. I should leave. It's just this nagging sensation in your instinctual portions of your brain saying this is a place you shouldn't be. And as you continue, the darkness continues to shroud everything around you, and it becomes, your visibility is reduced to roughly 50 feet at this point. Okay. In every direction.
Okay. Is this is it darkness or is it low light at this point?
At this point, because you get the impression that it's the thickness of the air that's changing around you, blocking out the light, you can see each other okay. There's like this kind of visual sort of range of sight you have that's in a proximity around you, but beyond that, it's darkness in every direction.
Oh,
it's as if there's this wall around you of just blackness. You can see rough shapes of trees and the terrain around you, but it's weird. It doesn't feel natural at all. It doesn't mirror any natural sort of experience you would have. It's clearly, definitely an effect of some magical force.
Okay.
Suddenly, you hear in the distance, you hear the sounds of screaming.
No.
Of three human-sounding males.
I think we found our mercenaries.
I think so.
Vanya says.
Does Vanya recognize anything?
That definitely sounds like Hayes and Vecnin. So I'm content to let them scream personally. The sound of them, it sounds as if they're coming from straight ahead and off sort of to the side, as if they're running away from something. And they sound scared.
Do we want to go see what they're running away from, even if we don't necessarily help them?
Yeah.
Let's see what the...
I'm content to go ahead and watch them squirm.
Yeah.
Well, it's entirely possible that they're running away from the thing we need to find.
Yes.
So
that's what I was thinking, too. All right, looking forward.
Okay.
Do it.
I'll say roll one more nature check, or one more survival check to see if you're able to navigate the terrain and find where they are.
Okay. 25.
Okay. You're able to, it's not that far away. It's a few hundred yards off to the side. You kind of navigate, and as you approach, it does get darker and darker around you. And finally, you sort of push your way through some shrubs. There's the undergrowth which is normally kind of lighter in the deep woods where there's so much light blocked out by trees, there's not much of undergrowth to speak of. But as you've gone closer to the source of this energy source, the undergrowth has grown larger as the trees around you get smaller. So you push through this sort of a thicket of shrubs and bushes, and you suddenly see a man, a human male, kind of run out of the darkness, just screaming. He's like, "Oh, no!" And before anything can happen, before you fully realize what's happening with him, you see him get yanked by an invisible force back through the darkness, and you hear him give out an agonized scream and then silence.
Mm.
Did you recognize that guy?
Mm-hmm.
That was Vecnin. He was a jerk.
Well, I mean, one could surmise what with the whole backstabbing and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that was Vecnin. He was one of the mercenaries.
Yeah.
And you no longer hear the other one either.
Well, let's, I have a sinking feeling that that's not going to be the last that we see of them.
Possibly, possibly not.
Well, if one's here, the other one is probably here too.
I was more thinking that they're going to be zombies.
Mm.
Sooner or later. Hopefully later. You know, after we're gone.
As you speak, a shape in the darkness beyond, a sort of a glimmering ethereal shape, a glistening bluish white figure emerges, followed shortly by a second one. They're two humans in flowing robes that are wearing a headdress, an ornate headdress kind of a thing. They have, one holds a sword in one hand, they're male and female, the other one holds a staff, and they hover in the darkness. Their figure is translucent, fades down to nothing. They stand there at the perimeter. The man points his sword at you and says, "You must turn back now. You stand on protected ground."
Protected for whom?
"You must turn back."
Why is this ground protected?
"Turn back now or face destruction."
I'm good with a little bit of destruction, guys. How about you?
Well.
Why not?
Why not? We're adventuring, we might as well.
Sally
does
forth,
anyone in
your
party have knowledge about this kind of stuff?
Knowledge religion or?
I have knowledge arcana. I have knowledge history. I have knowledge nobility, knowledge planes, and knowledge religion. Any of those work?
I think that would be you.
maybe knowledge religion.
Okay.
See
if you recognize anything like on there.
15 modified.
Okay. The kind of the apparel that they wear seems to be something from it looks related to sects of kind of a monastic order of mages that you've heard of. that are kind of dedicated only to the pursuit of knowledge about the arcane and about magic in general, but it looks like a kind of a modified version of that, as if this is some kind of an offshoot of that sect. So it's nothing you've recognized personally, but it looks attached to that kind of a thing. These appear to be the phantom figures of some kind of magical order.
And only one of them is speaking to us, right?
So far, only the man has.
So my dominions, as far as what I'm experienced in my clerical order, is glory. And healing and glory is actually one that goes against undead. Is there any chance I could tell if these are good or evil spirits, or if they're being compelled, or if they are actually sentient in and of themselves?
I feel like you should have to roll something for that, but I'm not sure what.
I would roll Arcana or something like that.
I guess if, since that is your religious experience with that, I'd say you can roll a religion check for that, just based on the way your knowledge comes from.
That'd be a modified 18.
Okay. These figures appear to be completely aware of their state. They do not seem to be compelled. They seem wholly independent. And you do not sense evil.
Okay. Are you protecting the Void Scythe?
Hmm.
Roll a charisma check.
Okay. Just straight charisma. No, nothing like diplomacy or anything like that.
You could roll diplomacy.
Okay, I have a +6 on that. 12. It's not great.
Okay. The male figure kind of directs his gaze on you, and you can see, like, you've heard of phantom figures like this before. They tend to have kind of a vague concept of the world they're in. They don't often know they're dead. This person's gaze, when it affixes on you, is sharp and intelligent and focused. And he says,
"Why do you ask about the Void Scythe?"
We are trying to recover it to place it somewhere safe so that a necromancer, a force of evil, can't get hold of it.
It is somewhere safe. Who has sent you here?
A nobleman who is a keeper of antiquities in, I can't remember the town now. His name is Rukir.
Was he the one who sent the others?
He was.
He resumes kind of his offensive stance, and he says,
"You shall go no further. Return to your master with no further harm done. Or do not return at all."
Just a moment. I'd like to converse with my party, if you don't mind.
And it just, we're just gonna takes a sentinel stance and just stares you down.
That's funny.
I step back and give him a quick bow and turn around. I feel like we've been duped.
We Is might have.
Possible?
Yeah, I'm feeling a little questionable.
I feel like we're on the wrong side of this. I feel like these spirits are not being compelled to do what they do. I feel like they have a mission to protect this thing from anybody who would come near it. And I feel like they're doing it for good, not evil purposes.
I will say, I've never been particularly fond of Rukior. He's always been rather a bit of a social climber.
Opportunist.
Yes. See, this is something that he can use for his own personal gains in the nobility in Gildenwall.
Interesting.
I think we should walk away. I think it is protected.
Is it possible that... I mean, from what I understand, the Void Scythe is a real instrument of destruction. It is very dangerous, and if Rukior has sent men thus far, nothing's going to stop them from sending more at another time. It's possible they could get through and acquire the item.
Let's think then for a second. Very optimistic scenario. In an extremely optimistic scenario where literally everything goes well for us. We somehow manage to get past, you know, the Void Guard here, whatever they're calling themselves. We somehow manage to go ahead and get the Void Scythe. And we somehow manage to go ahead and make it out of this swamp and back to civilization alive. We now are in a possession of an evil object. And what is to stop, or what's to protect us? What do we do from there?
I agree.
Yeah.
You know, like, even if we are to go ahead and remove this thing without a scratch and all of us alive, what do we do from there?
I don't know. I never intended to give it to Rukir.
It should probably be destroyed.
Exactly.
Yes. We talked about that back in the inn when we took the job, though.
From what I know of Rukior, if this is something he wants, he will continue to pursue it until he gets it. He is a particularly tenacious individual, and he has the resources to send team after team of mercenaries to their death until one of them succeeds.
What if we end Rukior?
That's
how do we destroy it?
We could do, but without any evidence of what we're doing, it would be treason, and I would be executed, and you would probably be executed as well.
Only if we're caught.
I'm not a particular fan of being executed.
Yeah, I'm going to say me neither on that one.
Yes, but there's a greater thing to think of here, people.
All right.
Do we think we can find proof of what the Void Scythe is? Here.
I would love to ask them to see their defenses and how they're protecting it, but I honestly don't think that they'll let us waltz in and do an inspection.
Well, these apparitions appeared where we saw Vikman eviscerated, yes?
You saw him dragged into the woods behind and didn't see what happened to him exactly.
Happened
you just
to him.
Know something yeah. happened to him.
Right, I mean, but this is where that happened. Like, they're standing yeah. where the invisible force dragged him back.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I think we have an indication of the strength of the badness, or no, the badness, whatever the force is that's protecting the Void Scythe right now.
Great. And like I said, I don't feel like it's evil. I feel like they're doing a job to protect the rest of the world from it.
It would seem so, but how strong are they really? I mean, Vikman and Hayes were effective, I guess, enough on their own, but they were by no means the best of the best. They were cheap. And I think eventually Rukior, when his men keep dying, is going to stop going for cheap and start going for quality.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly my worry. Eventually he's going to send somebody out here powerful enough to do this.
Right, it won't end with us by any means.
Nope. There. Yeah, if we turn back empty-handed, we've basically just given him the free rein to do what he's going to do.
These specters seem unusually reasonable. I think perhaps we can appeal to them to let us at least see the Void Scythe and observe the protection of it and gauge its effectiveness.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly they know something about Rukior that we don't. Like, I mean,
they didn't
say what, but maybe we can get that out of them.
Yeah. Who has high charisma?
Us do.
Go for it. I have no charisma, so. And we lost Isabella. I'm hoping she pops back in here in a minute.
It's okay. Charisma is a dump stat anyway.
not in the right situation.
Yeah. It seems like it's pretty important at this moment.
It is entirely, yeah. That's just an ongoing, you know, Dungeons and Dragons joke. Yes, that charisma is the dump stat.
Yeah, no, not if you're a paladin.
Yes, or, unless you're a bard or.
Yeah,
not if you're a sorcerer.
Or a sorcerer.
Or a sorcerer.
Okay, so. All right, so we're going to turn to the ghosts. So we entreat you to answer us a question. We are simply paid to go on a retrieval mission. We know nothing about our employer besides the fact that we met him 2 days ago. Who is he? And I roll 17 plus 5 is 22 for diplomacy.
Okay. The man kind of looks at you and says,
I know not of this man. Only that he sent the others, and the others sought the scythe. If he seeks the scythe, he must not get the scythe.
So why protect it? Why not destroy it?
Mm-hmm.
You both seem to be extraordinarily powerful. Why not rid this realm of it?
Roll another charisma check.
This one's less good. 10 plus 5 is 15.
Okay. He says,
the scythe contains evil the likes of which you cannot understand. It must not be removed from where it lies.
All right.
What happens if we do remove it?
We believe you, and we don't particularly wish to go ahead and disturb it. That being said, our benefactor, such as he is a resourceful man, and our compatriot here has let us know of the depth of his pockets. He's hired help now, and if we turn back, we won't be the last. He will continue to send more and more powerful people here to go ahead and try to get this thing. We need your help to make sure that that doesn't happen. This guy.
Roll another charisma check.
Oh man, we're really testing the waters here today. I've got a natural 20 for diplomacy and for wine tasting.
Okay. The man looks at you and he says,
this place, the scythe must not be removed. It is protected here. You must turn back.
And for the first time, the woman at his side turns to him and says,
Byron, if he sends more in, how long will we be able to protect Nyctis?
Ooh, what was that? Protect what?
Nyctis.
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 Byron turns to her and says, shush, woman.
Mm.
We can protect him.
Does Nyctis jog any of my memories or knowledge in, say, like Arcana or
religion?
Religion.
Nope.
Nope. Okay. Put out planes.
Nope.
Arcana.
Nope.
Do I recognize nature? It as being either a nature? Celestial or infernal word or name?
Nope.
Okay.
All right.
Well, let me try.
You gonna ask?
I beg of you. I beg of you, lady. Who is Nyctis and what can we do to help you?
Roll another charisma check.
Jesus. All right. Dice don't fail me now. All right. Modified 18.
Okay. The man who you gather from the way they look at each other and the way they speak to each other, they're probably husband and wife.
Mm-hmm.
The man turns to her and says, Celeste, do not. And she says, Myron, it's time. And she turns to you and says, Nyctis is our son.
Is he a necromancer?
We must protect him. Mm. Nyctis is our son. And he is the only living member of our extended family. We protect him here. We protect him and the Void Scythe, but the Void Scythe is inconsequential compared to him.
Uh-oh.
If you can protect our son and this Void Scythe from the influences of evil, he will bring you in to see them.
We will.
Yes.
Or die trying.
Very well.
I pee my pants a little.
She turns. She turns, and you watch as the mark behind them kind of fades as if blown outwards from a wind to this tunnel of clear air, of illuminated air that fades into the up and up the hill behind you, up past the woods into the crest of the hill where you can see sunlight on the other side as you observe it opens and onto a clearing, and the two ghostly figures walk down this newly created tunnel.
All right. Well, folks, come Let's along.
Go. All right. And we will see what awaits on the other side of the tunnel in our next episode.